It is my privilege to invite you to today's sermon podcast. I have made the Apostle Paul's prayer request my own when he states in Ephesians 6:19, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, the words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." May today's sermon come alive to you and aid you in your understanding of God's plan for your life.
I want you to hear the word of the Lord this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a great chapter. I encourage you to read the whole thing. We're going to concentrate on three verses this morning. The first three verses, 1 Corinthians 13. Scripture says this: "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, again we come to you thanking you for your word. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, we just pray that you would bless this word to our lives today. Lord, may it challenge us, may it transform us. Lord, may it encourage us and energize us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The year was 2003. I was a youth pastor at Lemoore, California, Lemoore Church of the Nazarene, right in the Central Valley. And we had one of the most awesome things that we were doing. I was part of the District NYI Council, that's the youth council. And we had something innovative that we were doing for our youth camps that year. You see, we had determined together that we were going to rent out a ski lodge. Yeah, not just any ski lodge, but one that was at 8,000 feet. Man, go figure that. All the way up on the way to Reno. And on the trip there, a little song was being played that I'll never forget. It was a secular song on a youth trip. What's going on here? You see, what we had done, we had rented these nice tour buses for the youth pastors to kick back and not have to drive vans and not have to worry about transporting the children the teens. And we were going to go on this long trip, and it was in style, and this song played. And I was a little upset at first. Why is secular music being played on a youth trip, for crying out loud? That's not supposed to happen, right? But as I got to listen to the words and I considered the kind of kids that were on our bus, there was a lot of kids that weren't churched. There's a lot of students there who had never really heard about Jesus other than the first time when they came to our church or the churches that were represented there. And as I got to thinking about this song, it was a song called "Where is the Love" by the Black Eyed Peas. I know it's almost lunchtime, don't get too hungry now hearing this, but that's the name of the group. And I just want to read some of the lyrics of this song because it really spoke to me then. It still speaks to me every time I hear it, and I hear it not from the perspective of a pastor, but I hear it from the perspective of our world, crying out for something that's real, crying out for a love that lasts, crying out for something that's tangible, that they can really hang on to, a faith that they're searching for. Here's some of the lyrics, all right? I'm not going to rap it. I don't want to show off my rap skills yet too early here in our relationship together. That time's later, and it'll probably be a DC Talk song instead of a Black Eyed Peas song anyway. People killing, people dying. Children hurting, I hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? Would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. Because people got me questioning, where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? The song goes on with that same kind of theme. I'll spare you from the rest of it right now in my temptation to sing it or rap it this morning. But it's a cry from our world, wanting something that's real, desiring something that will last longer than maybe a standard relationship they've been subjected to or have witnessed in their own parents or friends. Something that will endure the test of time. They're seeking for something that will bring meaning to their lives, other than the hatred and the racism that just seems to pervade in different areas of our world. in different sections even of the different systems that are out there. And so they cry out, where is the love? And my question kind of back to them is, well, what kind of love are you talking about? You're wanting a love that lasts. You're wanting a love that endures. You're wanting a love that stands the test of time. But really, I only know of one love that's going to do that. And really, one love that enhances the rest of the other kinds of love that there are. When we think about the Greeks and the concept that they have for love, they had at least four words that stood for what we would just say one word, love. The first one was eros. In the Greek, the eros kind of love. This was the love that arises from passion and from infatuation. Even, dare I say, in the middle of a Christian worship service, sexual attraction. That's the kind of love that eros was. Whether it was the lust of a man for a woman, or whether it was the passion that rose up in someone because of the politics that they liked. It's the same kind of word here. The physical love, the patriotic love, a man for his nation, or the ambition of a person for wealth, an ambition of a person for power or for fame. This eros love is kind of like the basic kind of love. It is fueled by the passions within your own self. Is that the kind of love that will last forever? Is that the kind of love that endures? I don't think so. Because once that lust is fulfilled, then it craves more and more, and it's never satisfied. And we know that love satisfies. Another word that the ancient Greeks had for love is storge. This is the kind of familial love. It's the love that exists between a parent and a child. It's that love, that parent-child, that lasts even when they're adults. I'm finding out now as a father with adult children, I still have that love for them. I still have that concern for them when I don't hear from them for a couple days, you know. Man, I hope they're okay. It's the kind of love my dad still has for me when he calls me on a Monday morning to say, hey, I almost got saved at your service yesterday. I watched it online. I said, almost. Dad, you almost get saved every week. The man that took me to church, the man that met me at the altar and when I prayed to receive Christ, he's only joking. But it's that same kind of love, the familial love. You know, eros and storge, they're not really used in the New Testament. There's another love that is used, and that's phileo. Not phileo fish, but just phileo. It's an endearing kind of love in itself. It's the brotherly love. It's the love where you love the guys you go hunting with. It's the kind of love that you have when you go fishing with them, even if you don't share your nice fishing spot or share it with your pastor yet who's new to the area. That's okay. We'll get there. But it's that brotherly love. It's the, you know, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, is the same kind of root word, phileo. But it's this last kind of love that I really think the Black Eyed Peas and our culture was seeking for. It's this kind of love that lasts forever. It's this kind of love that takes action, that takes a determination, that just doesn't let the body run wild to do whatever it wants, that just doesn't have a familial affection for someone else, that just doesn't have a brotherly love, slap you on the back, hey, let's go do something fun together kind of love. But it's a deep kind of love. It's the kind of love that was exemplified on the cross with Jesus Christ. That before that was exemplified in God sending His only begotten Son to us. You see, the kind of love we're talking about is the agape kind of love. This is the kind of love that is selfless. The kind of love that is sacrificial. It's the love that comes from the mind, the reason, the will, that makes a choice to love someone even when they're unlovable. Praise the Lord for that. That sees someone in their pitiful state and wants better for them and will do what it takes, even sacrificially, to help give them a helping hand up, to help them find a new course, a new pathway. This love goes so far that even if a person is not deserving of that love from you, is still given. That even the person who is untrustworthy, who is unworthy, maybe even utterly unworthy, is shown this kind of love. Folks, the agape love is the kind of love that the world needs. And I want to tell you today, it's the kind of love that you display as believers in Christ. It's the kind of love that we share in together. It's the kind of love that gives money to send to Africa where you probably never will go. I'm sure you're welcome to go on some mission trips coming up and in the future. It's the kind of love that says, I'm going to give so that others may have a better quality of life. I'm going to give so that little babies will not die from either constipation or diarrhea. I'm going to give so that they can have a chance at life, a chance to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and get a fresh cup of water in Jesus' name at the same time. It's this kind of love. It's the power of love. We've been talking about blessing our communities, transforming lives through what God can do through us and what we have to offer, our gifts, our talents, our strengths. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you 3 points about the power of love. And when I'm talking about love, I'm talking about agape love. I'm talking about the highest form of love that there is. The highest form of love that can be expressed in a marriage relationship between a husband and a wife, where they give of themselves so much toward one another, where they also give toward their children, and where in a church community we can give of the love that God has given us and never dries up. So the power of love, first of all, I want you to know, is the motivation in blessing our communities. When we're talking about going out and serving, when we're talking about going out and blessing those that are around us, we're not doing it for selfish reasons. We're not handing everyone a Mountain View Church of the Nazarene business card as we're trying to help them out, as we're trying to do something in the community. We're not giving them a 5-minute spiel as to why they should come here on Sunday morning, although they should, but we're not doing that. What is the motivation for us doing that? It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. It's for Christ's love compels us. Christ's love motivates us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Love is our motivation. Agape love is our motivation for why we want to bless our community. To be thankful to God for where he's put us. To be thankful to God to where he's led us. To be thankful to God maybe for just where you ended up. It's this motivating factor of the agape love that pushes us on, man. It compels us. When you don't have any strength left, man, you're on fumes. And someone has a need and you want to meet it. It's that agape love that pushes you on to meet that need, that gives you the strength to do that. Brother Les, when you get out there and you're on your last bit of strength and there's a need presented that God wants you to meet, he's going to give you that strength to do that, brother. That's his grace at work. I know you know that, but be encouraged by that. When you're on your last bit of strength, man, you're just driving home and a need presents itself, you want to meet that need because of the love of God within you. That's a powerful thing. God comes through for you like that. Why does that love exist within us? I think it's from the second point, is why this motivation to bless our communities is there, from the love of God. And that's just because the power of love calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? All right, so which of the Ten Commandments is the greatest one that we need to keep? Which of the 600 and something that the Jews made up to keep the Ten Commandments, which one's the greatest one? Here's what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And I believe it's Mark that says, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. It's the twofold command of loving God with all that you are, but not neglecting your neighbor. To love our neighbor. Well, who's our neighbor? There's a whole other sermon in that, and it's called the Sermon on the Great Samaritan Parable. Right? Who's your neighbor? Well, it may be the guy you don't like very much. It might be one of them Republicans or Democrats running for office that you don't like very much that God calls you to love. Ouch. It might be that neighbor down the street that's hassling you all the time, your literal neighbor, that God calls you to love. It might be someone in your congregation who you just clash with that God calls you to love. It might be that person you pass walking down the street that's in need of love but doesn't show it, that puts on a brave and maybe an ugly front so people will leave them alone. God calls you to love that person. You see, we're called to love our neighbors. It's commanded in the law. It's something that by nature of who we are in Christ that we can't help but love others. Jesus set the example for it. And he was dealing with all kinds of people that the religious folks said, why are you hanging out with them? Why are you hanging out with those prostitutes? Why are you hanging out with the drunkards? Or those thieves we call the tax collectors? Jesus, why are you talking to a woman at a well in the middle of the sunlight, high noon? Not only that, she's not even a Jew, she's a Samaritan. How dare you? Jesus sets the bar of loving our neighbor pretty high. But yet we have that motivation to love those who God puts in our path. We're called to bless our community by loving whoever God places in our path. Whoever, whatever they're dealing with. It goes so far that even James reiterated this in James chapter 2, verse 8. And you know what kind of hard book James is, right? Here's what James says. If you keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. Wow. Now, I hope I haven't lost you already by telling you, you got to love all Democrats and all Republicans. I hope I didn't lose you yet. But my point is, God has called us to love everyone. To love everyone as we love even ourselves. If we have that motivation, if we stay true to that calling to love everyone that it comes, we come into contact with, or that we know of, that we pray for, the third thing the power of love can do is transform lives and our communities. It has the transformative power to do that. Isn't that awesome? What God's love can do? We'll go back to Exodus. Sometimes it seems it's hard to find love in the Old Testament, right? There's so many rules and regulations and punishments for this, punishments for that. But check this out, and this is kind of lengthy, so I'll try to read it quickly. I don't know how to make it more concise other than to read it, so let me quit stalling. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must have no other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in heaven, in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon the children. The entire family is affected, even the children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But, and here's the part I really want you to hear, but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. I love that word lavish, all right? Not just from the old show, Lifestyles, or the Rich and Famous. Now I'm really dating myself now. That's an old Robin Leach, or is that was his name? Yeah. Anyway, they showed these opulent palaces. I mean, they probably even showed some that had golden toilet seats. It's like, man, who's going to need a golden toilet seat? Obviously they did. But I love the word lavish. Here's how I understand the word lavish. I don't know if there's too many around here anymore, but when we were in California and my wife and I were young and married, we liked to go to this place called Marie Callender's. Oh. We probably liked it for different reasons. I'm a simple man, so I have simple tastes, and my simple taste was for the cornbread that they brought out to you. But not just the cornbread. Buddy, they brought out to you a whole bunch of butter. And man, what I would do with that cornbread, because it was an appetizer, I would lavish that butter all over that cornbread like it was a thick layer of frosting. Man, that was my favorite. That's all I would need for about 5 more minutes till the regular meal came. But I think about that word lavish, that God just lavishes his love upon us, that God will lavish his love, his unfailing love for 1,000 generations to those who love me and obey my commands. And I just relate it back to his command to love God with all that you are, but don't forget to love your neighbor as yourself, to do these things on which all of the law and the prophets hang. This is reiterated again in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. How great the love that the Father has lavished on us, that what? That we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see what's happening here? It's this transformative love that's being described. That God will lavish his love, his unfailing love, upon those who obey his commands. Even the simplest commands, to love God with all that you are, to love your neighbor as yourself. But there's something transformative that happens in that we're adopted into God's family through the process of what God does when he saves us. We're part. There's a transformation that takes place. Within our own hearts, we're called new creations. And that love that we have that transforms us, we are to share with others, to transform communities. Some of us in here, myself included, attended 2 funerals this week. Or celebrations of life, whichever you'd like to say. One for Pastor Chuck Ryan's brother, Craig. And then one for Donna Schenck, who you know. And the stories that were told of, maybe not always in the service, but the ones that you hear afterward, about how God's love transformed these people was astounding. Amen. How God moved in these families to transform something within the family, to lead them to Christ, to change the trajectory of their lives even. Of their families down now through several generations. That's the power of God's love working in them. So at the end of life, it wasn't a sad and solemn situation, not knowing what became of the deceased, but it was a celebration that now they're in the presence of Jesus, that they're part of the heavenly family, reunited with those that have gone on before them. The transformative love of God. How does this happen? It happens, as Galatians tells us, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit's working, says the fruit of the Spirit is love, first and foremost. Agape, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The freedom that we have in the love of God to truly bless those around us, to truly answer the question that people have in our society, where is the love? Well, as I look around, I see the love on different people's faces. I hear about the love and the stories that you tell. We saw a demonstration of love with all this stuff that's being taken, not here now, we moved it out, but taken over to Africa. The kind of love that happens when you write out that tithe check in faith, saying, God, I don't know how, but I'm going to be faithful to you to give this. And God is faithful. They say, I don't know how, but there's this offering, there's this need I heard about that I want to give to. That, hey, I saw this place and these people downtown that need help, and I think we can help them. Let's go. It's that kind of love that's demonstrated. The kind of love that hears a need that you can't meet by yourself, but you pray and others join you in prayer, and God brings about the solution to that. That's the kind of love we're talking about. It's the same kind of love that Jesus demonstrated for us on the cross when he gave up his own life for us who could do nothing about our own sin problem, for us who are lost and dead in our trespasses and sin, those things that we commit that are against the will of God, those thoughts, those attitudes, those actions that we knowingly partake in that smack right in the face of God. We were dead because of those. We were powerless to do anything apart from what Jesus came to do for us. And through Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, we have a free gift to accept. Folks, have you accepted that free gift this morning? Is it yours? Is Jesus yours? I've got to tell you, there's a whole world that's still in need of that free gift. And you've got it to share. It's not limited to just what happened to you. It's like the video game you're playing, and you get unlimited lives. Oh, I love that. Because then when you mess up, like I often do trying to play a video game, you get to try again and again. Well, you've got that free gift, and if you try to offer it to someone, they reject it. Guess what? You still got it to give to somebody else. You don't quit offering it, because at some point, someone will accept that. How do we offer it? We go back, we offer it in love. Offer that in love. So this morning, what's my action points for you? I've just got three. And really, I want us to bless our community, but I want us to do it for the right reason. And that is through the motivation of God's love for us. Because we're called to love our neighbor. And because we know God's love can transform lives. And by transforming lives, it can transform families down to the generations. It could transform communities even. And maybe you're a testimony even to that today. So three things that I give for you to do. Don't you love when the pastor gives you homework? Man, that's the old teacher in me. I encourage you to conduct a prayer walk around your neighborhood. Now, I know some of you ain't got neighbors for miles and miles. So maybe it's a prayer drive with your eyes open, okay? Just drive around. Just walk around and pray for your neighbors. Pray that God would reveal the needs amongst you or around you. Pray for those that maybe are right in your own cul-de-sac, that are right down the street or down the way from you. Now, if it's your relatives, you already know how to pray, so you might need to extend out a little bit more. And just in that spirit of prayer, say, God, what would you have me to do? What needs would you show me? And the second thing, after you know those needs, just ask God to help meet those needs through you. It might not be something that you can do by yourself, and so you might say, hey, I got this need that I like to talk to you about. Maybe together with someone else you can help to meet that. Maybe it's something that's bigger, that includes the whole church, that we could do together. Whatever it is, ask God how he would meet those needs through you. You see, what we're trying to do is to bless our communities. We're trying to share the love of God with others. We're trying to be faithful to God's call to us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and by doing so, we show that we do love God. And so third, this morning, something very practical. Perform an intentional act of kindness this week that directly addresses one of those needs that you discover. I don't mean something random, but I mean something intentional. You know, I haven't experienced it yet, but you know, someone pays for someone's coffee ahead of them in line, you pull up and they give you your coffee for free. That's always a cool thing. That's a random act of kindness. But I want you to think intentionally about the needs you pray over, the needs that God reveals to you. What can you do to meet those? And just to do it, maybe even anonymously. There we go. What can you do to bless someone this week? Folks, by doing this, even the little things, it's transformative. Even these little tiny things God uses to make some big changes. Pastor Chuck is not here this morning. I don't know that he would mind me sharing this. He shared it at the funeral service for his brother. But he said Craigie was born And the doctor's advice was to just leave him here and you and Pearl go home. We'll take it from here. Whatever that meant at the time. But something stirred within Pastor Chuck's dad. A love for this young boy. This young boy that was going to need his parents. Pastor Chuck said that change that happened within his father set the course of his whole family down through these generations. Put them on a trajectory for the family to serve and to follow and to love God, all because of this little boy that was born into their family. A powerful testimony. Ask Pastor Chuck about it. He could tell you a lot better than I just told you. But it's powerful of the little things that can happen, the little choices that we make that can change the direction of someone's life. Maybe you're one that can help meet one of those needs that brings that about for another family, that brings that blessing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God, for who you are, for what you're doing, and God, for what you're doing in our lives. I pray, Lord, this week as we do a family prayer walk, you'll bring about some needs within our own families. Lord, as we take that drive and we're just admiring and loving you for the place that you've put us in, for the place you've led us to, God, that you'll just reveal those needs to us. And Father, when we know those, help us to see how we can meet them. And then when you give us a clear path, Lord, help us just to go and to do that, to help to meet that need, whatever it might be. Lord, we're not doing it for brownie points. We're not doing it because it earns us a special place in heaven, but we're just doing it, God, because you showed us the example through Jesus on how we should love others. And we're doing it because we love them. And Lord, we want to see them draw closer to you as well. Lord, be glorified, I pray this morning. In our lives and our hearts, Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining today's sermon podcast. You can find a copy of today's sermon, as well as other sermons, and the sermon outline from today on our church's website, www.mvcnaz.org. It is my prayer also that you will seek out a church home that recognizes the authority of the Bible.